We've just been passed as Category 3 by the Football League, which is a great, most welcome from it. You know, we're wanting to produce youth team players for the first team. Our record over the last 15, 20 years, I think it's Kevin Davis and Jordan Bowery that have been produced and moved on for transfer fees. Those days are behind us now, where big transfer fees are coming down to Leagues 1 and 2 clubs. So there's not that channel to go down. So now what we're looking to do is to produce more of our own players, more to get developed into the first team and get that unit coming from within. The problem with that is finance. And, you know, the football club puts £150,000 a year into the academy system. We get a grant of £270,000 for the next 3 years each year. So financially, there's a lot of money going into it, but unfortunately, there's a lot of that money has to go into various areas of the academy system. So what we're trying to do now is we're trying to get some outside help to be able to maintain and improve standards, which then consequently we feel will then help to produce the players in the short to mid-term future.
So I'm the boss of a local company and I want to invest. What do I get for that?
Well, it depends what you wanted to do. Do you want you know, a shirt sponsorship? Do you want to sponsor the academy itself? Virtually anything, a particular age group. I mean, we're ranging from 8s to 18s, 16 to 18s is the youth team. Do you want to sponsor the youth team? Do you want to sponsor a particular age group and get involved? Do they want to get involved? You know, if we've got a number of businesses, do we want to get certain those involved in certain policies that we do within the youth? I mean, the main thing is that any money raised, any money brought in through sponsorship, etc., will go into the academy system, and it will be clear for everybody to see that that's where it's gone. It's not going into club, not going into first team, anything like that. It's going into the academy system. We're like every other Football League club. It's difficult. Finances are difficult. Everybody wants first-team players bought. Everybody wants first-team squads. Everybody wants everything channeled into the first team. But the bottom end of the club needs doing it as well. And we do our best here at this football club to give it the financial, but we do seek, needs a little bit more.
How difficult a market are you operating in? Because you have clubs up the road, you have EPPP, you have clubs over in the northwest, and a finite group of players, local players?
Well, it's been difficult. I mean, our record, the record in Chesterfield over the years has been that Wednesday and United have taken a high number of good quality players out of the town. Forest and Derby, I'm sure, are the same. You said North West, Danny Bramall left us this year under 15 to go to Everton. You know, so if we do get some bright sparks in it, there's always that problem of that happening. But you know, we've worked extremely hard over the last 18 months here to build up. We've set up a development squad which is outside the academy. None of this sponsorship money will go to the development squads because that's self-funding. But you know, we've got great links with the development. They've produced a lot of players for our academy system. And you know, our scouting system now goes up to Leeds, Sheffield and Chesterfield. We have over 35 scouts on a weekend going out looking at schoolboys. And you know, I think we've got one of the best systems outside, you know, Category 1, in my opinion. And, you know, lots of clubs in Category 2 haven't got half as good of system in terms of scouting as we have. But the problem is that we just need some extra finance to help that and guide us through with it.
There are a couple of mixed messages, I suppose. On one hand, you have Chesterfield and doing what they're doing and trying to do. The other hand to that is other clubs are really struggling to meet any kind of demand of a youth policy. And the mixed message there is from those right at the very top of the game are saying, we need more coaches, we need more young kids. It's almost like it's not happening in the game as a whole.
Well, I mean, that's another question, that really. You know, that's personal opinions of people. You know, to run our Cat 3 setup is costing nearly £500,000 a year. And we get, as I stated before, a grant. The club puts a certain amount in, and we just need that extra. Now, for people to come in and help us, that'd be fantastic. Every little bit will help, how big or small that is. Football is going through with a World Cup situation, the England national team, and you know what Greg Dyke said over the last few months regarding our younger players. You know, everybody's got different views, and some people have views on the game as a whole. We feel at this football club that we are developing our youth setup. What we feel is the best that we can possibly do.
Moving on, is it true, or is there a plan in place to bring the reserves back ultimately here?
We would like to bring the reserve team back. You know, that's part of today. Of being able to, if we could release some monies into the academy system, that then go on, that the football club then can bring back the reserves. I mean, I've been speaking at meetings regarding reserve team football. It's not just like bringing back a reserve team football. It's got to be of a quality standard, and it's not like a youth team playing Saturday, youth team playing the reserves on Tuesday all the time. There's got to be a standard of teams and of experience at playing reserve team football. Otherwise, you're just having double games for youth teams, and that's what was happening in the reserve system. If the reserve system can be brought back, where you know it's going to be like a proper reserves league how it used to be, then Chesterfield want to get back into it, because to run a football side of a club correctly, you need a youth team, reserve team, first team. But as I said, that is a cost, and today is all about trying to alleviate costs at the bottom end in the academy system, which then can free up some money to then bring back the reserves.
It would be remiss of me not to ask, as regards first team issues and signings and getting a couple of players in, where are you at with that?
Well, Paul's negotiating with a number of players and agents, and it's difficult because we have a squad of players of about 17, 18 players who have all done extremely well. Every one of those players last season contributed into the promotion into League One. We feel that the side that we've now got in League One is of a stronger essence than the team that last time went into League One. If you look at the team that went in there last year, conceded 50 odd goals during the season, and they lost the two main strikers who scored all the goals. We feel that we've got a number of players in the team that score goals. I think we got 70, 71 last year. And our back four was the best in the division. So we're going in there with strength, so we've got 17, 18 players. What we need to do is to add to that number of players to just strengthen the squad a little bit more in depth. There's a few points of view. Paul plays a style of football that plays with one striker up front. Last season it brought us 70 goals, so it works. A number of players scored goals. Roberts, O'Shea, Banks, Doyle, Richards got 10 goals. So what we've lost from last season is we've lost the 10 goals of Mark Richards. So, you know, we need to replace that. You know, everybody knows that Paul's looking for strikers and trying to bring strikers in. I mean, you can go and we could have signed a number of strikers this summer, but what are they? Are they the sort of striker that we need to improve us? Are they the sort of striker that would settle into the way that we play? So, you know, Paul's earmarked 3 or 4 that we're still negotiating with them and trying to get them to come here. But unfortunately, sometimes those players are too expensive for us. And some that we haven't been speaking to in the past, this summer, have been their agents and the players have been too extortionate. Now, yes, we can bring those players in, but if they're not successful, fans would then want them to bring more in. And if we brought strikers to this club that were extortionate on extortionate monies and they failed, then the football club would be in a financial trouble, and we're not going to do that.
Michael Higden's name is the one that's been the most prominent, if you like, as regards the speculation. Where are you at with him? How's that been left? Is that still ongoing?
Yes, it is. I mean, you know, Michael Higden's contracted to Nijmegen in Holland. He's wanting to leave. He's trying to negotiate something that end. And until those negotiations are completed, we can't really go forward with that. We've talked terms with him. Paul's, you know, spoken to him, the agent, and it's ongoing.
Paul's had a look at a few trialists recently. Bocco is one. Morgan is another. Featherstone, another one on top of that. As far as you're aware, and I realise it's the Monday morning after the Saturday, etc. How many of those are realistic targets? How many do you want to bring?
Well, I mean, that's a question for Paul on what his thoughts are on the player. But we're like every club in pre-season, you know, we will always look at anybody, everybody we can, and you know, we've had certain other players that haven't really featured in the games that have been in training with us, and you know, you're always looking for somebody that's out there that's just not, you know, on other people's radars, and then suddenly, you know, you pick somebody up. I mean, you just look at our league last season with Scunthorpe, with Winall and Hogan at Rochdale. Nobody knew of them or thought of them, and they both got 18-plus goals last year. So, you know, we're always, you know, always bringing players in on trial. Some players are brought in just to aid us to get through pre-season. Numbers-wise as well, you know, just to have a look at them, but they also play a little part for us. They're playing for us, they're on show for other clubs to have a look as well. So, I mean, as any manager would do, you look at players for interest as well.
As a basic one, just to finish with then, how many players does Paul need to sign so he's happy with the squad numbers to start the season?
Well, hey, listen, I've been a manager. You want as many players as
possible.
Okay,
all right, put your chief exec's hat on then. So how many are you going to let him have then?
Well, it's not how many that we're going to let Paul have. It's how many we can afford and how much goes into the budget that we set for the squad. You know, we're always open for players. Somebody might drop right out of the sky in early August that might, wow, you know, that's a one for us. There's a loan market that's available as the season kicks off. It's, you know, if I said we were going to have 24 players, fans expecting six new signings, or if we just say there's nobody coming in, we've only got 17, 18 players. It's, you know, we're not putting Paul under any pressure whatsoever. As a football club, we can only afford what we can afford and what we feel is the right amount to afford going into League One. We will assess, obviously, after a number of games when we're in League One, how the squad's shaping up, as Paul will tell you. We're very confident in the players that we've got here already and the management team that we've got installed here, that we can compete in League One. And as I reiterate, we feel that we've got an excellent squad of players here already, and Paul's just trying to add a number of faces into that squad that'll give us a bit more depth.
Have you had to fend off any interest because of what happened last year and the success that was achieved? Has any clubs come in and thought, well, I might test the water there with any of the players?
No.